This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Brazarians, yesterday on McAfee. It's a good way to ask a question, Keith. BS or no BS?
It's a new game we're going to play. BS or no BS?
That's not a bad idea.
It's no BS. Yeah. It's sort of like it's right on the same place as the may or may not.
It is very close to may or may not. I do agree. I don't want to step on their toes.
That's true.
But BS or no BS?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bruce Arians says no BS. I liked brag. Drake May was my quarterback that year. Mike Vrabel's the coach of the year in the AFC.
All right.
It's another example of the mass amount of accolades that the Patriots are getting nationally. Never mind locally. Hour two, Jones and Keefe. A reminder, football talk on WEEI. Presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We've been joined very frequently on Wednesdays by Taylor Kiles of CLNS. He's very courteous with his time. Taylor, thanks for joining us again here on Jones and Keefe.
Thanks for bringing me back, fellas. Good afternoon, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I want to start with this. I actually saw you and Cadlick, among others, kind of getting asked about a Patriots-style media game against the Patriots coaches.
Oh, boy.
We just finished talking to Justin Turpin, who played in that Celtics media game yesterday against the Celtics coaches. It did not go well. Would you welcome the challenge, and how do you think it would go against the Patriots coaches in a media game against them?
We playing basketball or football?
Football.
Oh, football? The coaching staff. I don't know. I know McDaniels has a little background at quarterbacking, but I don't know if he's seen what Tom Curran can do with a football. And then, you know, I'm going to be cocky here and say, You know, I'm not a bad athlete myself, so we would at least give them a run for their money. I know Evan Lazar doesn't think we can, but I highly disagree.
Yeah, so this would be what, a flag football?
No.
You don't want Veritek.
No,
full
contact.
You don't want Veritek acting like the water boy, Bobby Boucher out there.
That's true.
I don't know. If we're doing tackle against Mike Vrabel, that might change my prediction a little bit. We got to play flag. I'm not trying to get tackled by that dude.
Speaking of Vrabel, you know, we're getting everybody's take on this. On Monday morning with the Greg Hill Show, he was asked about the relationship between Drake May and Josh McDaniels. And also he was asked about, like, you know, the credit. And, you know, he first and foremost was like, Drake May and the players get the credit, they get the credit. And then he brought up on his own Ashton Grant, the quarterback coach, and was like, this guy is doing a great job. And I don't know, it just sort of added on our end anyway, it seemed like it added a little bit more of the Vrabel maybe not wanting to give McDaniels all the credit in the world, or maybe he's like the one guy that he didn't really pick on his staff. I don't know. Where do you come down on Vrabel when asked about McDaniels bringing up a lot of other names in a lot of these answers?
To be honest, I'm not really big on all the drama stuff, so I'm not going to give you anything too juicy on this one, but I will say I think it's big that Mike Vrabel tends to deflect towards people who don't get a lot of attention, like even when he's running to the sidelines, right, and you see players scoring touchdowns, and he's like, hey, that guy sprung you, that guy threw a block. So, I mean, everybody knows Josh McDaniels, right? The guy's won Super Bowls, the guy coached the greatest quarterback ever. His resume speaks for itself. And we also know that Mike Vrabel is big on trying to get his guys opportunities, right? Like, he understands, you know, especially after the whole Bill Belichick era, I'm sure, and knowing and kind of seeing that intimately, that it's good to get guys' names out there just in case they have opportunities for other opportunities outside and with other teams. So the way I read it, as someone who, you know, just hasn't personally gotten quite enough, I guess, enough of a tell from Vrabel that he has any beef or anything with McDaniels, I really do think it's him just wanting to bring that attention to the guys that we don't really talk about quite as often.
How do they, sticking with McDaniels then, how do they fix the run game? It was something they tried to get going in the second half last week. Your colleague on the beat, I'm not sure how he'd do in the media game. Maybe Hayden is like a third down back. Mike Reese said it's too much on Drake May. They have too much on his shoulders. They got to get the run game going. How do they fix that?
I mean, that's true. It's not going to be sustainable for you to go into December and hopefully into January and not have a quarterback, or I'm sorry, not have a run game that can supplement your passing game and have people know that you're one-dimensional and eventually just start sitting in too high shells and you still can't run. The issue, and I hate to say it because it feels like it's repetitive, but it really is time on task, like McDaniels is saying, and they really are one or two blocks away a lot of the time. And the biggest issue, I think, is at left guard and at center. Mike and Wenu did give up a couple bad plays, and you see that pretty regularly this season where one or two times in the run game, he's going to have a really bad rep. But he's also one of their best players, and I think that kind of just is an example of how issues other places magnify when anybody makes a mistake. So starting with left guard, Jared Wilson has been outstanding in pass protection. The numbers don't necessarily show it. He's had some issues when it comes to picking up line games and things like that, but one-on-one, that kid is a freak. Like, he's got incredibly strong hands, phenomenal athleticism, be able to recover, get himself in position. Like, he's a very hard guy to beat cleanly. But in the run game, and this is why I think his future is at center more than it is at guard, he just doesn't generate a whole lot of power. And he's been struggling when it comes to getting off his first block and then reaching linebackers at the second level. So you're seeing some pretty good push. Like, Will Campbell got great push. The right side of the offensive line is still moving people. But it hurts when, all right, you got that initial carry, and then you get to the second level, and you're running into a wall. It also doesn't help that Garrett Bradbury, very similar. He's been awesome in pass pro. I think he's honestly blown everybody's expectations away, even though he hasn't faced any really tough competition necessarily. But at the same time, he's been pretty inconsistent as a run blocker as well. He's a great athlete, so he's pretty good on those outside zone blocks. He can be good at the second level, but he's inconsistent when it comes to climbing. And like Jared Wilson, he doesn't generate a lot of power either. So it's hard in a team that wants to run a lot downhill, right? They want to run these gap schemes where they're just resetting the line vertically. That's hard to do when two of your five offensive linemen aren't really the strongest dudes. So I really think it is that. I wish I had an easy answer. I wish I could say, hey, just scheme it up, you know, use the pass as an extension of the run, which you absolutely can do, but you can only run from the problem for so long, and pun intended, I guess. So really, it's just the left guard and center spot need to be better, whether it's, you know, getting to their climbs. I think that would be a huge part of it, even if you're not necessarily getting the push you'd like up front. But I think that's been the biggest weak spot because you've seen positive things from the other guys.
What about Ramondre Stevenson? Is he just too afraid to drop the ball again that it's cutting down the chances of any big plays? What have you seen from him over the last few weeks?
I mean, I think that's definitely a part of it, but it's also, Vrabel pretty much acknowledged this. Like, yeah, you know, there's probably some of that, but it's hard to blame them considering what happened in Buffalo for Ramondre Stevenson specifically. And Travion Henderson's ball security has been pretty good going back to college. But, I mean, when the running back coach is preaching ball security, I'm sure as a rookie, you're like, hey, I don't want to be the one that fumbles because this is my opportunity to get more chances. So I wouldn't say that it's not a factor. Maybe he isn't hitting the hole quite as hard. But again, like last week was bad. That was the most tackles for loss they've allowed. So it's kind of like a quarterback, right? Where, all right, yeah, Drake May, if you look back at his tape, even though he was young, he did some kind of uncharacteristic things because he couldn't trust his offensive line. Well, when you're a running back and you can't really trust your blocking to even get you to the line of scrimmage, that can affect your play style as well. So, yeah, you can put some of the responsibility on the backs, but it's also up to the line to give them more opportunities to make some of these explosive runs that they've been lacking.
Taylor Kyles, CLNS, joining us here on Jones and Keefe on Wednesday on WEEI. You can give a follow on Twitter. Good stuff there at TKyles39. I'm looking at the AFC, Taylor. Patriots now on top of the AFC East. They'd be the number four seed at 4-2. Buffalo's right behind them. Season ends today. They're playing Buffalo on Wild Card Weekend. The teams in front of them in the AFC, the Chargers, the Steelers, the Colts. What's the Patriots ceiling in the AFC?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
If this trajectory, if Drake May keeps playing the way he is, like I just posted it, he has an almost perfect passer rating on deep throws, which is not everything, but it's just not a thing that really happens. And that's just kind of the cherry on top to what's been a phenomenal past 2 weeks, really past few weeks from the second year quarterback. So if he keeps on this trajectory, it's impossible to say he's not playing at an MVP caliber. And if you got the MVP, that's going to get you in that upper echelon of your conference most likely. And obviously the defense still has some things to figure out, like we just mentioned the run game. But if they can get any semblance of a run game and the defense continues to evolve the way that we've seen, like I think they've given up a lot of big plays. But I think you can explain a lot of them circumstantially, like Spencer Rattler went off last week, right? Like he's taking what he can, and then he's also delivering on some big throws downfield. So I think the defense is going to be formidable for the rest of the season as long as they stay healthy. And again, the pass game has been excellent. So could they be one of the top one or two teams? I don't think that's crazy to say because this conference feels more wide open than it has in quite some time. Obviously, the Chiefs are starting to kind of claw back, and maybe they're looking a little bit more like they're dangerous selves, but I wouldn't have said this before the season, but I don't think it's crazy to expect them to at some point with this schedule be one of the top two best teams in the AFC. I think top three with their schedule would be a disappointment if they didn't at least get there.
You know, I was looking at your breakdown of Drake May on his deep balls this year, where he's 12 of 15 for 353 yards and four touchdowns, which I guess the question would be, should they do that more, or is one of the reasons why it's so successful is because they're picking and choosing the right spots?
So when I look at all of them, I actually think Drake's getting more comfortable. Like, you look at the first week of the season, he's kind of missing on a couple throws, and we were even saying at the time, doesn't feel like he's letting it rip the way he can. But last week, you started to see him make some FU throws. Like, on that weird sequence where they kept bringing things back due to penalties, and he has a crazy throw to Stephon Diggs that's brought back by a phantom penalty. He's like, all right, screw the ref, and does the same thing on the next play because they give him the exact same coverage, and it's arguably a better throw because he got hit as he let it go. And this week, I think, is going to be another week that he can push the ball downfield because the Titans, they haven't been tested deep very often. I don't think Geno Smith threw deep once last week, but there's vulnerabilities, and they've given up some deep balls in the same fashion that Drake May made them last week. So I think that's just going to continue. I think as he really understands the offense, knows that he can do the right thing and is being consistent, then his playmaking ability is going to take over. And this is a guy who was the best deep ball thrower in college football. As I think at that point, he was a 21-year-old who was only in his second year as a starter. So, I mean, it seems crazy, you know, having a Tom Brady who was excellent, but there were the physical drawbacks that he had, obviously. And then you have Drake May now, who's a supercomputer and can do pretty much anything he wants on the football field. So I think this deep ball stuff is only going to get better as the year goes on. Now, the efficiency might not continue. Having this level of consistency is pretty much impossible throughout a season. But still, even college, he picked his spots well, and he puts the ball where it needs to be. So I really do think the sky's the limit when it comes to his deep passing.
I mean, a supercomputer with FU throws. I like that. That's a good combo right there is what that is.
Right?
No Brian Callahan fired earlier this week. Does that make this game in any way more difficult for the Patriots? What sort of challenges do the Titans present on the field? It hasn't looked like much.
Well, that's the thing. The Titans don't have a ton of talent. Obviously, you have a complete game wrecker in Jeffrey Simmons, who I don't know if any player has represented the name of their team better than him. Because this dude is in his 30s, and he's still one of the best defensive tackles in football, and is genuinely unnerving to watch just how good he is and what a monster he is on the line of scrimmage. Sebastian Joseph Day, sneakily, is a good player as well on that defense. But in offensively, they got Cam Ward. Calvin Ridley isn't someone you can sleep on. They got a couple good guards. But this isn't kind of like that Raiders team where Josh got fired and then the good players showed up and they just completely popped off for that 1 week. This is a team that maybe they're a little bit different schematically with Mike McCoy running things and they throw a couple things at you. Maybe this is a breath of fresh air they needed to kind of play better ball than they have. But again, I think the ceiling for this team is still pretty capped. And if the Patriots do their jobs and they, you know, it seems like they're locked in. They're trying to win games. They're trying to get better every week. And now you got Mike Vrabel going back on top of a bunch of other coaches. Harold Landry, Jack Gibbons. Like, this is a homecoming game for a lot of people in the Patriots organization. So if they show up, even with the coaching change, I really don't see this being a terribly difficult game for the Patriots unless they just let Jeffrey Simmons do whatever he wants.
Well, you mentioned Harold Landry. We've been talking a lot about Vrabel, obviously, returning to Tennessee. But Landry had some good years down there as well. And this could be as good of a matchup for him to have a big day, right?
Oh, yeah. The offensive line for the Titans. Like I said, Peter Skoronski's good. Kevin Zeitler, he's an older guy. He's really kind of pushing it, but still a very good and fundamentally sound player. Lloyd Cushenberry is a solid center, but their tackles have been rough. Dan Moore Jr. is someone you can exploit. That's going to be more Caleb'on Chaisson's job. But J.C. Latham has only played in two games. He played in the opener at right tackle. Then he played last week against Max Crosby, and Crosby kind of ate his lunch. And I'm not saying Harold Landry's that guy, but Landry is like top 10 in the NFL in quick pressures. And he's been doing that with his speed and with his bag of tricks. He can beat you with spin moves. He can beat you with swipes, just quick inside rips. So I think that J.C. Latham's going to be in for a very long day, and it should be one hell of a homecoming for Harold Landry.
Taylor, before we let you go, I want your thoughts on this. Two-part question. Are you a fan of horror movies, yes or no?
I love horror movies.
Okay.
Yes.
We tiered off horror movie franchises yesterday.
Very controversial.
Now, this is the entire franchise. It's not just one select film.
Correct.
Out of the franchise. We had Scream, Final Destination, Saw, and what is this? The Evil Dead.
Yeah.
On our top tier of horror movie franchises. Do you have a favorite horror movie franchise?
I think I'm going to go with A Nightmare on Elm Street just because my godmother loves horror. She got me into it, and that was her favorite genre growing up. There's a special place in my heart for that freaky face Freddy Krueger, man. I don't know what it is. It just brings the nostalgia back. So, and plus, I think that franchise was going for like almost 30 years or something like that, which is insane. So,
oh, yeah.
I'm
going to
go
scary.
With our old Freddy Krueger.
We had it so scary.
Good case for it. There are very strong films. There are also some very, very weak films. I feel like the tier that we had, the top tier ones, was more consistent across the board. Maybe higher highs than The Nightmare on Elm Street. So I don't. I'm going
nostalgia pick though, and fair. Also that's historic. It's historic. Although I do love me some Evil Dead, the most recent one, freaked me the hell out. That was awesome.
I agree.
Okay,
pretty good.
Well, how about that? You can check out the tiers on the Odyssey app. You can check out Taylor Kyles at CLNS and on Twitter at TKyles39. Taylor, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right, Taylor Kyles joining us here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. We had that on the So Scary.
I love horror movies.
We had that on
that's
the
good.
So Scary.
Good drop.
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
Well, that's because like Nightmare on Elm Street 2,
I didn't want to jump in on the full May or May
5 are like horrible movies.
Yeah.
But a lot of good ones. And it's got the very iconic villain.
Well, it's kind
of one of our top villains from last year.
Oh, for sure, one of the top villains. It's kind of like when you're talking a baseball Hall of Fame. We're notoriously small hall guys.
Oh, big time.
But sometimes you get a guy where you're like, boy, look at that peak.
Really good peak.
Strong peak.
A Kurt Warner. But yeah, Nightmare on Elm Street is the Kurt Warner
of
horror movies.
A Terrell Davis.
A TD.
That's a good peak.
No, actually, it wouldn't be that.
No, because you need more longevity.
You need a few years. Yeah, what happened there? Yeah,
that's true.
That's why it might be more like Kurt Warner.
Yeah, because Kurt Warner was backing up Eli.
Yeah, the Giants season.
Yeah, good point. No, that is a better one. Yeah. High, low, lows. Not just a short,
no,
top shelf career.
That would be more Evil Dead. Evil Dead doesn't have as many movies as those other ones on that list.
Got it.
But the hit rate is through the roof.
Real high.
Yeah.
Okay, so you learn something new every day.
Uh-huh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
and
it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.